RSM Central's Form Express.
Time for the Metro Form Express, and it is a busy Metro Form Express as we take a look at Caulfield Cup Day and Everest Day up there in Sydney. But let's catch up with our Metro Form Express man for the Melbourne meetings, and Mark Guest is ready to go to preview Caulfield Cup Day. It's a very good morning to you, Mark.
Hey, Gareth, the sun's shining, but looks like there's going to be a little bit of rain later on and tomorrow. So soft five at the moment. Could get to a soft seven, I suppose, if we get all this rain that they're predicting.
You can predict a lot of things in life, Guesty.
I don't know about that.
What do you think that the weather will do in the next 24 hours? Because can you trust the weather report?
No, but I think there'll be some. We're going to get something. It says the heavy falls will be in the Yarra Ranges, so I'm not sure how much will be falling around Caulfield. So I'm just banking on. I've worked on a soft six, soft seven, and just for horses that can get through those sort of conditions, and they're going to get into it a bit if they got rain on the day too. So that will be interesting to see what they actually do. Like if they will be making ground up, and I think with the track rain affected and falling throughout, that if the rain does fall through the day, well, then it's probably going to help horses that are back in the field.
You live next door to Caulfield. Have you walked the track yet, Guesty?
No, I haven't, no. But
what's
I've got my spines. They walk it and they tell me little things here and there.
So what are they telling you, Guesty?
No, I haven't spoken to them today.
Oh.
They've got security guards on the track these days, so they do stop a few people going on there.
Well, you can do anything these days. You've got so much power. Surely you can get onto the Caulfield track, Guesty.
Well, what are you alluding to?
I'm not alluding to anything. We'll move
right
on.
Right.
Can you find us a couple of winners at Caulfield tomorrow, mate? And where do we start?
Yeah, well, it's a short-priced gallop. At number 10 in race 4, Kapalua Sunset, was pretty dominant at Kynan. And when you do the figures on the whole day for that meeting, it was right up there, and you know it was short races, and it ran over 18.75, and its figures showed up against the shorter races. So she's only getting better. So I think you'll see it winning tomorrow, and then probably firm up a little bit more for the Oaks. She dominated at Kyneton, race 4, number 10. But you're taking rock bottom though, 2.10.
Then where do we go, Guesty?
Thought the 10 in race 6. King Magnus, provided they're running on, but its wet track form is very good. It's racing extremely well. Gee, it's held its form over this last, you know, couple of months, and it goes super at Caulfield. So I can see it winning race, provided they're running on. Race 6, number 10, King Magnus, it's $6.
And the final of your best bets on Cup Day?
Yeah, well, it's in the Alinghi. What a champion filly she was, and mare. Race 8, number 9, Emanate, who raced at Rose Hill recently. Oh, Kendall Grange it was. But Count the Rupee ended up winning, defeating Zushak, but she wasn't far away from them. On the wet tracks, she's excellent. So I think with that situation, she's going to prove very hard to beat there in the Alinghi. Race 8, number 9, Emanate. I thought there's an each-way chance in the last. Race 10, number 7, All Banter at $10. And my cup tip, it's my roughie of the day. Race number 17, Dwayne, on the backup, $19.
Incentivise, is he a good thing, Guesty? I know that you're taking
him on. No, I'll pick Dwayne, but I think, look.
Why are you taking him on, I should have said? Why are you taking on this favourite?
Well, he's going to work a little bit. I know that he's going to be out of trouble, like working across, but he's still going to have to work a fair bit. And with this rain predicted, I think if they're making ground up, it's going to make it easier. Like, if it had been a dry track, I would have tipped him, I think, because he would have been up on the lead and it would have made it harder for those horses back in the field. But I just feel tomorrow they're going to start to, down the side, they're going to start to come into it. And with these soft conditions, I think it's going to make it a little bit harder for him.
What we want you to do now, Guesty, is get outside, put the bill cream through your fingers and slick that hair back and head to the Caulfield racetrack and do a video track report for us. Hashtag RSN Central at RSN927. Guesty, please.
Yeah, I can do it, but I can't tell what I need before that. Your better half is the hairdresser. That's one of her jobs. She cuts your hair. Can she do mine? Because it's starting to grow very long. Yeah.
Well, obviously, you haven't been listening to Dana. She's not a hairdresser, but she has
no,
tried.
No, no, she's not a hairdresser, no, but she's cut
she,
your hair
yeah,
before.
She's tried to cut my hair. And I tell you what, I am paying the penalty now because she hasn't done a great job and it's so inconsistent. I'm a bit like you, Guesty. But just buy another tub of Brill Cream and away you go. You'll be right.
Little devil, do you? No problem, mate.
Good on you, mate. Good on you, Guesty. There's Mark Guest there. Kapalua Sunset, as Mark Guest pointed out in that fourth race for the three-year-old filly. She does look tough to beat. Let's hear from her jockey, Brett Preble.
I worked her Tuesday on the grass, and wow, it was pretty solid work. You know, she worked with Young Werther, and I reckon she had him on the canvas nearly. You know, I think she worked with him twice now. She worked once at Mooney Valley before she won at Flemington. Outworked him and probably outworked him again. So, like, she's really putting her hand up as the filly that's probably going to be the strongest and toughest and over 2,400, I think. But, you know, Saturday will tell us a bit more, but she's pretty exciting.
Geez, that is some push, isn't it, from Brett Preble there with that three-year-old filly, Kapalua Sunset in the Ethereal. So she's into 2.10 now. Biscayne Bay represents Mara and Eustace in the same race. Here is Kieran on her chances.
She showed this prep that she, you know, just wanted to relax and get over ground. And, you know, when targeted this race, she's going to get a lovely run. And she worked at Werribee there last Saturday and was solid work. And I think she's a decent chance in that.
In the Carlton Draft Caulfield Cup, Incentivises the $2.60 favourite. We'll hear from Brett Preble first and then Peter Moody, of course, his trainer straight after that.
I think the upside for me is he doesn't have a horse like outside him from the jump. So, you know, you can just see him if he dwells a little bit. He can still pick up his speed in his own time, in a sense. So he'll tell me where he's going to be, really. You know, if he's not going to travel well enough to be in front, well, we won't be there. But if he's travelling swift, he'll just roll along and just enjoy his race and build from where we need to. Yeah, he handles wet ground. I'm sure he'll adapt. He's an easy going sort of horse, and he takes everything to his stride.
I think Brett now has the luxury where he doesn't have to charge anywhere. You know, he could settle second half if he thought they were going stupid. Going to have plenty of galloping room. You know, realistically, he's probably going to be five or six deep on the first turn. And my thoughts to Brett, I'm not going to suggest too much. He knows him as well as me now. I just wouldn't be rushing anything, you know. Just take your time and go to wherever you want to be or wherever you feel you need to be to win the race. Oh, listen, I think it'll take a big effort to beat him. I think misadventure or misfortune's probably his two worst enemies tomorrow. Obviously, the ground, we've got no control over that whatsoever. But the horse has had a faultless, excuseless preparation. So if you feel his form's good enough to win, he wins.
That'll do me, Pete. That'll do me at 260. Nonconformist, trained by Graham Begg. He's in ripping form at the moment. Let's hear what Graham had to say about his chances heading towards the Caulfield Cup.
Couldn't have him any better. That's a good way of putting it. I wouldn't want to swap him for anything at this point in time. So we think the horse is in fantastic order. Come through the race in great style last week. And he's had a good week. And, well, I should say up till now, he's had a faultless preparation.
What do you think of the barrier?
No problem.
Well, that's confident. What do you do from that gate?
You know, put him in sort of the first half of the field. But no, I don't think it's a bad gate at all, actually.
Here's Danny O'Brien about the chances of Young Werther in the Cup.
He'll run to the post the first time and hopefully hold a spot. I would have thought midfield, one off the fence and in a rhythm and hopefully relaxed, you know, from the early stages of the race to get as good a trip as possible so that he can be strong late in the race. We'd love it if we could lock in a soft six or a soft seven now. You know, that's usually a very fair surface. If we got that torrential rain all Friday night and it ended up a heavy 9 or 10, then you're really in uncharted territory, certainly for Young Werther. So I hope we don't get a complete, you know, mutters track there on Saturday. You know, Caulfield's such a great track and Jason prepares it so well that it'll cope with a lot of rain. We just hope it doesn't get into that really heavy range.
Here's Ed Cummings on Duaz's chances in the Cup.
So I think if we can sort of posse up a little bit closer than we have in the past from a really good gate, I think it puts us in a terrific position We map to do no work in the run and save ourselves for a big sprint.
And here's Kieran Maher on the chances of Enthar in the Caulfield sprint, which is the final event.
I think she's going well. Her trials have been on wet tracks where I don't think she likes them at all. So we'll see what the track looks like tomorrow. She's
not at her best. She's got a big, low action. She needs top of the ground. But I think she's taken a while to come to hand. But she's in good order now and her fitness is good.
Some news is breaking from the Victorian government. Now, from October 19, which is in 4 days' time, from Sunday, isn't it, October 19, fully vaccinated people will be allowed into Victoria from New South Wales without quarantining for 14 days. They just need to provide a negative test result within 72 hours of arriving. That allows basically now any Sydney jockey to ride during the Moonee Valley and Flemington carnivals, and it also allows the trainers to head down to Melbourne to watch their horses gallop, their final gallops and preparations before those big races. So that is big news there for the Sydney trainers and Sydney jockeys regarding our carnival. So just repeating the news, if you're fully vaccinated from New South Wales, you can come into Victoria from Tuesday, I should say, October 19. Wonder if we'll see Ronnie Duffacy now. G'day, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Big chance, hopefully.
Yep. All right, mate.
Starting to sound good.
We look forward to seeing you. What about the Everest then on a Saturday afternoon? What are you doing there? Who wins this year's race?
Oh, good. Geez, it's hard. I don't like tipping horses first up in an Everest, but geez, Classique Legend captured my attention from that second trial onwards. He doesn't want it heavy, and I don't think it will be heavy. They give it out heavy this morning. We had two beautiful days. I'm working on a soft six, which is okay for him. So I'm thinking it's him, the three-year-old, Home Affairs, and Nature Strip, really.
Okay, how do you think that track will play, Ronnie?
Should be all right. They've given a bit of a mow, and the inside's been protected a little bit the last few weeks, so I think it should be okay, but I don't like forecasting what's going to happen on these tracks.
Yes. What about from a punting perspective on Everest Day, where do we start with your specials?
I want to look wide and tip three at odds here on Saturday. Races 1, 2, and 9. Race 1, there's an import here, number 9, which is called Visionari. Now, he had his first run at Tamworth, mind you, but it was a good race at Tamworth, where one of the favourites for the Kosciuszko edit was impressive. I like the way he hit the line late, and he's got blinkers on at his second start in Australia. I'm taking the risk. He's never been on the wet, but at the price, I want to be with him. He looks a nice horse. He's trialled really nicely in those blinkers since, too. So race 1, number 9, Visionari. Race 2, I quite like number 9 here, All Hallows Eve. You know, she's you look at her form and, you know, 0, 10th of 11, 7th of 12, 10th of 13, but she hasn't been far away, and she's just been crying out for the sting out of the track, and she gets it with 52 kilos here. I think she can't do anything bar run well. So race 2, number 9, All Hallows Eve. And I'm very confident with the Victorian in the Austin Ledger. They bet 25-1. Number 2, Warning. Now, he got out of his ground there on a hard track in the Metro, but I loved his last 200 metres. He ran very slick sectionals there. And 2,600, a wet track. And, I think the jockey booking's a match made in heaven for Warning, Nash. He'll just stand over him, and he needs standing over. Third up last preparation, he won the Chairman's at the Doomben. And that was on a soft 7 as well. So I can think he can turn his form around. Race 9, number 2, Warning.
And who wins the Caulfield Cup, Ronnie?
Look, the favourite's hard to beat, but I think the forgotten horse is getting no talk is Montefilia. She's won 3 Group 1s. She's got 52 kilos. I thought she was terrific winning the Metro, and she's right at the top of her game and a much more mature mare this preparation. So Montefiore to beat the favourite for me.
All right, mate. Enjoy tomorrow.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Ronnie Duffersy there.
RSN Central's Form Express.
It'll be some training performance by Les Bridge if he can produce Classique Legend first up in the Everest tomorrow. Let's hear what Les has to say about Classique Legend's chances.
Actually, his last trial, his first one was ordinary. Second one was better. But McAvoy said he felt like the other day when he trialled his last trial, McAvoy said he felt as good as he did last year. So that's all I can go on. Last year, I thought he was a certainty. This year, I think he can win, but he's got to do it first up. So, yeah, that's the doubt. I think he's a great horse, mate. I wouldn't try it with any other horse. That's all I can tell you.
Here's Cliff Brown on the chances of the Inferno in the Everest.
Look, I do. I think, you know, Damien came and galloped the horse this morning, and he made a great point. He said, you can't actually go into a race with him and with a speed map, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there. You actually have to get the horse into his rhythm first and get him comfortable, and from there he'll put himself into the race. And I think that was very important. So I think first and foremost, get him going, get him behind, get a bit of cover and let him run his race from there. I think if it's soft, he's okay, and if it gets any worse, we're into sort of we don't know territory.
Here's Gordon Richards on the chances of Geetra.
Someone asked me that the other day. I think he's better, but of course, since then he's had a knee operation 12 months ago. But I just think he looks better. And I think the run in the shorts was pretty good, even though he didn't win it. I think he's at least as good as what he was 12 months ago. So now you just need luck.
Let's catch up with Michael Maxworthy. He's done the form for us at Eagle Farm on a Saturday afternoon in Queensland. Good afternoon to you, Maxie.
Hello, Gareth. Yes, we're back at Eagle Farm tomorrow. We were there last Saturday. The rail's just gone out from 2 to 3.5. The track will be a good 4. Race 4 tomorrow, number 8, Better Get Set, I'm with. I love backing O'Day Hoisted's horses and also Tony Gollan's White Hot at the moment. So they're two stables that are high-flying. And O'Day Hoisted trained this filly, so 4.8, Better Get Set. Look, she's got to graduate to Saturday from a recent midweek, but first up here at Eagle Farm, she ran a great race, second behind a stablemate called Contemptuous. That's the measuring stick I'm using. I think he's really smart, Contemptuous. This filly, third up tomorrow, she maps beautifully from an inside gate. Now, race 9, number 2. Gareth, you should have something on this mare called Red Steiner.
Yes.
She's $15 at the moment. I've got her about $5 or $6 in my market. They've taken the hood off. The headgear off her, and she actually jumped well in a recent trial. She's a notorious slow beginner, but I notice in barrier trials, Rexlip doesn't have the hood on her, and she flies the gates. It's finally come off. So expect her to jump a lot better tomorrow, settle around about midfield, and I think she can win at around $15. That's 9-2 Red Steiner.
I'm on, Max. I'm on.
Righto. Okay, you've got the good price because she'll be a firmer, I think. And then race 10, number 5, La Palmiere. I think you'll probably be at about $4. Lyrical Girl's likely to come out because she's racing today at Ipswich. I think the map is beautiful. He sits right behind them, ready to strike. He loves the 1,000 here at home at Eagle Farm. I think he's in career best form right now. That's 10-5, La Palmiere. 4-8, Better Get Set. 9-2, Red Steiner. 10-5, La Palmiere. Gareth,
go
Eagle Farm
them.
Tomorrow.
Go and get them tomorrow, Maxie. Thanks for that.
Okay, thank you, G. Bye-bye.
Let's head back to Nadia Horn for her thoughts at Adelaide tomorrow afternoon. They're racing at Morphinville, and gee, she was on fire last week, Nadia, and she joins us once again. Hello to you, Nadia.
Hi, Gareth. Let's see what we can do this week. We'll kick off in race 2 with number 8, Jar Zeb. Look, he's going to start favourite, but for mine, he's clearly the best performed horse in the race. He ran in a race first up on the inner track, and he bumped into a pretty handy type in Phil and Ives, who has been a subsequent winner. I quite like the way he let down through the concluding stages, and I reckon he'll take really good benefit out of the run. He gets to 1,200 metres, which I reckon will suit, especially the bigger tracks. So Jar Zeb, the first of the specials. We then roll into race 4 in the 1,200 metre 86, and this is a very strong race. I do think, though, that number 8, Pindaric, is very well placed. Now, he's a 5-year-old. He's got a great record. He's only had 6 starts, and he's been a winner on 5 occasions. We saw him last preparation. He only had a couple of starts. They liked to sort of space his runs, but he went around on a very wet track the day he was beaten. It was much worse than a 10, and, you know, he sort of was found wanting over the concluding stages. His form prior to that was simply outstanding, and he still brings a bit of residual fitness from the winter. He's likely to find the top. He'll be handy, and he looks like he's going places. So Pindaric in race 4, number 8. And the other horse we like comes up in race 7. I do think that number 1, Crown Monarch, I'm betting around $5.50 about him this morning. That's been well supported. He's now into about $3.80. He resumes from a spell. Look, he's a former Victorian. Mitch Freeburn used to put the polish on him, and he showed a bit of promise. He's been a winner twice from 6 occasions. But his Victorian form lines up very well for this race. Look, he was just behind Placegetters one day in a race at Caulfield, which would be good enough to win this race and probably see him start a very short price favourite. Ben Price takes the mount. He gets in with 57.5 kilos. And I would think that the roomier track will suit him because he's likely to get back. But he'll be finding the line hard. So the three horses we like are race 2, the 8, race 4, the 8, and race 7, number 1.
Good on you, Nadia. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Nadia Horn looking at Morphettville there.
RSN Central's Form Express.
12 minutes past 12, some news breaking in the racing industry. Simon Zara and Matty Ellerton are splitting after a 22-year partnership. They've had a lot of success. In fact, this has been their most successful season to date. So they'll continue to train in a partnership for the next 6 weeks, but then they'll go their separate ways. They just released a media statement there on their website and social media platform. So we wish Matty and Simon the best of luck going forward. Pete Anthonis joins us now to preview a really good meeting at Ascot across there in the west tomorrow afternoon. Hello to you, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth.
A few SMSs coming through. Gareth, you're well connected with the Simon Miller stable. Well, not so much these days. Have you heard anything on this runner? Hardly ever in race one. All I can hear is that this horse has had massive, massive, massive wraps on it for a long time. And if they, the way that they're talking this camp, it should be winning tomorrow, I would imagine, Pete.
Look, it's a pretty tricky little race, and the hardest part for me is the speed map. Hardly ever hasn't shown a great deal of speed, and it's drawn gate two, so if it's a little bit slow away, it could get buried along the fence. And you've also got that smart-looking horse that Bob Peters called Devoted. So there's a couple of smarties in there. I'm not sure it's necessarily a betting race, but futures markets are obviously up for the WA Guineas and the Kingston Town and a few of the other features coming up this spring. So, look, I think both of those horses are ones that will attract plenty of attention for the WA Guineas, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the famous Ray Meadowcroft colours there, hardly ever. So $2.90, Devoted at $2.25. Where do we start with your best bets?
Look, we'll just focus on the two features, Gareth. They're both very competitive races, but I don't think it's necessarily a day where I want to be jumping into anything that's a short price. In the first of the races, the Crawford over 1,000 metres, look, I'm on the side with Riverbow. This horse knocked off Clairvoyance last preparation when it was three wide, no cover. And it's drawn gate one. It doesn't necessarily have the best first up record, but it didn't have a gate first up last prep, and it basically would have won if it had a gate. It drew back, it had to go back into the field. It was really strong going through the line. Drawn gate one has every chance of just hitting leaders back. If it gets the split in the straight, it's got just as good 1,000 metre figures than anything else in this field. And we're getting $8.50 to $9 to find out. I think that's a great price for a horse that may well be a sneaky winter bottom chance.
One of the most interesting runners across the country tomorrow is a horse by the name of Rock Magic. He's a rising 13-year-old, or he's just turned 12, I should say. He's a son of Reduce Choice, having his 61st start. So I'll be interested to see how he goes for Chris and Michael Gangemi, who absolutely adore that galloper. What about the Northerly Stakes?
Look, the Northerly is a very open race. Obviously, there's a few horses that are shorter in the market, but I'm happy to play two at a better price. Dance Music is one. It's trialled twice. Both trials are sitting three wide, no cover, and we're still going through the line. Should be able to dictate this race. I don't think anything else will try and jump up and try and take it on to lead. But Dance Music around that $7.50, $8 mark, I think is a bet. And the other horse is Last of the Line, Gareth. Drawn gate one, it's had a couple of nice little quiet trials. I'm not sure if 1,400 will be a bit short for it, but at 20-1 plus, that Detonator Stakes performance alongside Montalino when they completely obliterated that field, it's got endless ability, and I know it's on track for the railway, but it might be ready to go 1,400 first up. So I'll be backing Dance Music at around that 750 mark, and I have to have something on Last of the Line at 20+.
That's a race that sees the return of Regal Power after a host of problems. Valor Road, Nerf Bosque, Western Empire, who dominate his three-year-old season towards the back end there last time for Bob and Sandra Peters and Grant and Alana Williams. Neville Parnham tells me KC will be a different horse this time in as well. Massimo, who's second up for the Ganjami camp. Platoon, Uni Time. It's a hot race, isn't it? Looking forward to it. And Last of the Line at $19 for the great SJ Miller. So they're our two plays tomorrow, Pete.
Exactly right. Let's hope we can jag one of them at a bit of a price, Gareth.
Enjoy that wedding tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks, Gareth.
There we go. There's Pete Anthony. There's Pete Staples has done the form for a Sunday afternoon at Hobart. G'day, Pete.
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon.
Caulfield Cup Day. Yes. Whoopie whoopie.
All right. How do we back a winner, Pete, on a Saturday afternoon in Hobart then?
We can. Look, race two, this one of Tegan Keys won Lotto. They backed it off the map, and it probably should have won last start, but got run down by the only logical horse that could have beaten it in Captain Morgan. On the Hobart track, I just think it just gets its chance. It shouldn't be affected by the rain affected going, which it will be tomorrow. And everyone's just hoping that the track drains as well as everyone thinks it will. And so one Lotto, race two, number two, is the first best of the day. And Scotty Brunton's taking 23 to the races tomorrow on the 7-race card. And I reckon his best is in the last, in Brinktop Lad. Now, he's got four others in the race, but I spoke to Scotty, and he does think that he is probably the best winning chance he's taken there. And I agree with him. He's up from first up from a pressure nap. He won two, then placed third. Then he tipped him out for a little break. He's drawn barrier two, De Perez on top. He's got plenty of early speed, so the tactical part of the race will be in the first 200 metres, and he's drawn ideally to get the gun run. Over 1,100, he is clearly the best on the card, number two, Brinktop Lad.
All right, then have you got a quaddy for us, Pete?
Well, I haven't, mate, because it's really, look, the way the rain's been, it's been raining non-stop since 1 a.m. and it's continuing on, expected to rain all day. I really tread lightly. It's a B-grade meeting because it coincides. Race one's on Sky 1, but the balance of the meeting's on Sky 2. You know, I'd have a better chance of picking the Lotto numbers than I would getting a quaddy tomorrow.
We'll just follow your tips then tomorrow, Pete. Your best bets. Love your work. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Pete Staples looking at Hobart for their Saturday afternoon meeting.
RSM Central's Form Express.
It is Victoria Oaks night for the Trotters there at Ballarat on Saturday night, of course. And Brett Lilly, he has the second favourite that's been well supported here in Queen Elida. Let's hear what Brent had to say about her chances.
Yeah, look, she's got to be very hard to beat the way she's racing and come up this time. So, we certainly wouldn't be swapping her for anything else in the field.
So she is my best bet on the program. Race 8, number 3, Queen Elida. She's got terrific gate speed, which such a big advantage for these young trotters. So I think she leads and she wins there in that feature trotting race. Other horses that we should be able to follow there at Ballarat, I think Mirakuru in the first race, horse number 8, he's got a couple of duck eggs to his name, but he hasn't had much luck. I think he can be hard to beat in that opening event. And then we move on to the Mailman. Dan Malecki was keen on its chances. That's race 3, number 2. It was enormous to win at Mildura there the other day. I think Revelstoke looks tough to beat. Race 4, number 1, he would just need a touch of luck. I think he can back two horses there, Aldebaran Misty and Revelstoke. I think those two trotters can dominate, the two-year-old trotters anyway, from the front end. And I think Pat's Beachstorm can bounce back in race number 6 there from a trailing draw. So those horses would be my play there, or will be my play there at Ballarat tomorrow night. Jason Thompson joins us because he is in for a big night once again for that feature meeting at Bendigo. It's Bendigo Cup night, and he's got this exciting greyhound, Typhoon Semi. He's just got blistering box speed going around in that Bendigo Cup as the $2 favourite. Good afternoon to you, Jason.
Yeah, hi, Gareth.
Good, thanks, mate. Typhoon Semi's just been brilliant since joining your kennel. What are you expecting there tomorrow night? He does look tough to beat after his heat victory.
Yeah, look, ideally we wanted eight, and we got seven, so certainly can't complain where he's drawn. Very, very good race. He'll need to begin every bit as good as what he did in his heat if he's going to be in the race. So hopefully he can do that, and obviously proved in his heat when he's going well. So if he can begin safely, that'll give himself every chance, because he's got just blistering speed. Once he's gone sort of 20 metres, he's just absolutely puts a foot down and just explodes.
That's the key to him, isn't it, really? You've trained many a superstar greyhound, but this greyhound's just got that electric speed in the early part when he puts his foot down, as you pointed out.
Yeah, he has. He's probably a safe beginner. Well, I wouldn't say, an absolute lid pinger, but just if you give him, as I said, 20 metres clear running, he just absolutely takes off. And his speed from probably, 20, 30 metres out of the box for the next probably 350 metres is just unbelievable. He's certainly appreciates two going around on the half circle tracks. I think that he enjoys being able to have a reasonably long run to the first corner and hopefully get himself into the race. And we're just hoping that'll happen on tomorrow night.
Who's the dog to beat in your eyes?
Tough race, but I suppose obviously Fernando Boy. I mean, he's won three country cups. He's been there, done that. He's a brilliant dog. He's always there. And I thought Dr. Tucker was brilliant last week. You probably take Typhoon Sammy out of the equation. And he's run 23.38. I just thought he was brilliant. But it's a tough race. They've all got chances. And Power Buddy off the ready, brilliant dog. Holds the record at Warrigal. So the dog that wins the race will obviously be the dog that does everything right.
Can Mr. America win in race number five, Jace?
Oh, I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Good draw, up to 500, which will suit. And, there'd be no excuses with him. He's certainly drawn where he wants to be. It was quite a good run in the heat without having much luck. So I'd like to think up to 500, he can step to the front, and if he's in front, he'd be a hard dog to run down.
Are you racing today? I'm just looking at the Meadows now.
Yeah, you got two at the Meadows.
Yeah, Overshadowed in race number 10 from box 7.
Very good chance.
Yeah. Should we have a bet?
Yep.
All right, then. And how can I forget that? Because I really like Decimate from the...
I think it's a bit of a... could be a tricky draw for him.
Okay.
There's a bit of speed that could come across him. He'll want to move right out of the boxes. So unless he gets a start right and is able to push through and lead, I think... not saying he can't win, but he's going to have to do everything right, where I think the other dog is definitely the pick.
That's why you're a superstar, mate, because we can get 330 Overshadowed, and Decimate is at $2.50. Now, I have to ask you, have you had any phone calls regarding the Phoenix and the Melbourne Cup going forward with a greyhound? Obviously, you don't need a call for the Melbourne Cup, but with Sammy, are you confident that he could get out and trip?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, before we got him, he raced in Queensland, and before he arrived in Victoria, he'd had three races over 500. So by getting up to 500, I think, is where we need to get with him, because, I think there's not as much helter-skelter speed as what there is, say, in Bendigo Cup heats or finals. So I think when he gets up to 500, he'll enjoy it more, and we're actually more looking forward to him when we do get him up, get through this Bendigo Cup and get him up to 500.
Okay, have you had any phone calls, Jace? Because I'm hearing whispers left, right, and centre. You've got a few in your kennel.
Whoever you're hearing the whispers from, ask for my number, and I'm always willing to take a call from anyone.
All right, then. So you've got Sammy, and then what about Fastnet? Will he be ready?
Aston Fastnet will be back. Equaliser will be back. And hopefully Rebellious. Because we're talking the races 8 weeks away, nine weeks away. So there's no doubt nothing goes wrong with, obviously Rebellious is racing, but Equaliser and Aston Fastnet, I'm hoping Equaliser may be ready for the Top Gun. If not, he'll be ready for the Melbourne Cup. And Aston Fastnet should be ready to go probably next week.
Who should we be backing from your kennel in the Melbourne Cup?
Typhoon Sammy.
All right. I'm on, mate. I'm on.
All right.
Thanks for your time.
No worries.
Appreciate
okay.
it. There's Jason Thompson. That was interesting, Georgie Ferrugia, to hear from the master.
Yeah, it was, especially after in regards to Typhoon Sammy. And we did speak about that on the podcast yesterday, Gareth, that Typhoon Sammy does have exposed 500-metre form. So can you imagine that sort of speed going around two turns? He's going to lead a few greyhounds and Merry Dance. He's very, very solid at $2 to win the Bendigo Cup in what is one of the better country cups I've seen, Gareth. We've got a track record holder at the second favourite, a Power of Buddy at 360. Dr. Tucker is a greyhound. I've got a lot of time for it, 420. The reserve, Tigalong Tonk at $6. Ferdinand Boy, the three-time Country Cup winner at $7. And we're out to double-figure odds for Shimmer Classic. Lots of chatter and perfect colour. Really, really great race here. I'm going to go for a bit of value with Ferdinand Boy. Gareth at around the $7 mark.
Yep.
Dr. Tucker is another one I'm keen on. I just think he's a winner and he's a really ferocious chaser from what we've seen so far. So he's not going to mind the hustle and bustle. He just needs clear running. But I think Jason hit the nail on the head. Whoever can sort of do everything right out of Box Rise and find the top, there's probably not a lot between them at their absolute peak, even though Typhoon Sammy did break the track record last start. So a terrific, terrific race there. There's one I like later in the program, Gareth. Race 11, number 3, Hilltop Jonah for David Gill, who's had a terrific 2021. His last 2 seconds have come after setting a cracking pace, and he was beaten in good time in both by good dogs. Shouldn't get too much heat from the greyhound drawn in box 4, and looks a huge chance to lead all the way here. So race 11, number 3. Quality numbers, make sure you check your scratchings tomorrow morning. 3, 5 and 6 into 1, 4, 6 and 7. Into 1, 4, 5 and 7, into 1, 3, 6 and 8.
Great stuff, Georgie. Catch up with you tomorrow.
No worries, mate.